given. And of that time, the Old Testament prophet Amos had foretold that day was coming. In the book of Amos, chapter 8, this is what he prophesied. He said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." There was a famine of hearing a word from God. You know, I look at our society today, and for many of us even, okay, we get on social media, we talk to people, and what we talk to people about, what we post about is more of the politics, more of the issues, more of our frustration with how things are going in our society today. But what we don't hear a lot of people doing is talking about the Word of God. And there has been a famine that I believe has been taking place in our land today, even as it did for the people of Israel then. But here's the good news. When Jesus was born, a great light was kindled in the midst of all that darkness. I love the candlelight service because during this candlelight service, we take these little candles. And they're a representation to us of that light that began to shine when Jesus Christ came into this world. Now, that light was not sequestered like mine was, okay? And we'll see if this thing, I got to move really slow, okay? But Jesus Christ came into this world, and in a much larger magnitude, the light of the world began to shine on that day. Of the fact Jesus was coming into this world to bring light into the darkness of this world, the prophet Isaiah had spoken of it. In Isaiah 9:2, he said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And to this dark world, Jesus Christ became a beacon of hope, a light in the darkness. The Bible says in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word," speaking of Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That the Bible says that in Him was life, and the life shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It goes on in verse number 9, and it tells us that He was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. And then verse 14 goes on to say that the Word, Jesus, was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, even the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let me tell you something here today. Jesus Christ is the Word who was made flesh. This light is not going to continue to shine. I'm going to tell you that right now. And Jesus' birth was the long-awaited fulfillment of a promise made from ages past, which we talked about this morning. When Jesus Christ entered into this world, His arrival sparked a light that the Bible says in John 1:9 has literally shined to every person that comes into this world. Now that's a word of hope. Because I don't care who you are, the light of Jesus Christ can shine into your heart here tonight if you would allow it to do so. And that's why Jesus Christ came into this world. And even so much as His light began to shine when Jesus arrived in this world over 2,000 years ago, today that light is still shining. And the Bible says that it has the power to shine into every one of our lives and into every one of our hearts. And indeed, for those of us that have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, His light has been shined abroad in our hearts. We know what it is to have the light of the Savior of the world, the light of Jesus Christ shining within our hearts. And one of the great challenges for us during this season is to be able to take that light and spread that light with everyone that we meet. And so as we get started with this service tonight, and we think of the light of the world that began to shine, one of the greatest pictures that I love to think about during this time period is the fact that with one single great light, Jesus Christ, who came into this world, that began to shine, that one single great light quickly began to spread into the hearts of people throughout every generation, all throughout this world. And so as we sing these next couple songs, hopefully you'll be able to keep yours lit. I wasn't very good at it, okay? And I'm going to start here with Brother Ken. And if I can make it to you without this light going out, as we sing these next two songs about the hope of Jesus for ages in the past, let's just take a minute to begin to spread this light around the room. I'm not going to hold mine because I'll light something on fire. Let's sing, O Come, O Come.
O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, come, bind all peoples in heart and mind, bind envy, strife, and quarrels cease, and fill the whole wide world with peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, come, in one heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease, and fill the whole wide world with peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Let's sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born Thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now Thy gracious kingdom.
Sing it out.
By Thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by Thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to Thy glorious throne.
Amen. Well, I tell you, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came into this world. And it really is, as you can begin to see, I don't think everybody has a candle, or maybe some of you don't have candles because you have kids. I can identify with that. Let's keep the light away from all the pyromaniacs in this room, okay? I'm a little nervous about some of you here, but I like a candlelight service because of the atmosphere, because of the simple truth of a light shining that begins to spread. And that's what happened when Jesus Christ came into this world. And you know, the Bible tells us that the light of the glorious news of Jesus Christ, it was first kindled in the hearts of Joseph and Mary. They were the first ones to get the glorious news of the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, was coming into this world. And the angel told Mary in Luke chapter number 1 first. He gave this announcement to her. The angel said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30 to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, not long after that, the angel then went and appeared to Mary's fiancé or her espoused husband, Joseph, and gave him this what must have been some shocking news that his wife was going to have a child. And this is what the angel told Joseph. He said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know, if you think about it, Mary and Joseph found out this news, and really for the first 10 months of Jesus' time on this earth, it was in the womb, and it was really just Mary, it was Joseph, and maybe their close family and friends who they felt comfortable sharing this news with. It was really just them who got to experience the light of Jesus Christ, the this flicker of hope that had been lit in this world. And everywhere Mary and Joseph went, every person they shared with it, this light began to spread of this one who had come, as the angel told Joseph, to save us all from our sins. And the next song we're going to sing together is a song of worship to Jesus Christ who came down in this world to save us. It's called "Here I Am to Worship." It talks about the light of the world that stepped down in this darkness to save us. Why don't we stand together as we sing this song together?
Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you.
Sing it out from your heart now.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross.
Sing on the chorus.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And that song of worship right there, that's why we're here tonight. To worship our Lord. You may be seated. I'm glad he came. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, of exactly how we came into this world. And a familiar passage of Scripture, but oh, how important it is we take a moment to think about it during this season. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it tells us, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him, in a manger, and laid him in a manger. Now, I try to put myself into what the scripture has to say from time to time to think about what it would have been like. If you really think about it, how mysterious and curious it must have been for the angels beholding from heaven. And for every person who came to visit that little barn, that little stable where Jesus Christ was born. The King of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of creation came down to this earth in such a humble way. He was born in a barn. Anybody else can say they were born in a barn? Now, I know some of you act like you were born in a barn, but that's a different story, okay? Jesus was born in a barn. The King of creation, born in a barn. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was the type of cloth that they would use to embalm the dead. Very symbolic of the reason Jesus came. The Bible says they laid him in a feeding trough for animals, a manger. That's how Jesus entered into this world. The prophet Isaiah had long before foretold how humbly Jesus, the Messiah, would enter into this world. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says in verse 2 about Jesus, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This is the mystery of the ages. Hidden from people in the days of the Old Testament. They didn't understand everything about the prophecies that had been given. They didn't understand that God intended to save the world by this Messiah coming in to this world. Nobody could have predicted the fact that God himself would come into the world in such humility to save us all from our sin. The Apostle Paul, I like how he wrote about it in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's the mystery of godliness. And it's a mystery of how Jesus Christ came into this world. And so this next song we're going to sing together, you can remain seated for this, but it talks about this mysterious, awesome, wonderful child, Jesus Christ, who came into this world. Let's sing, What Child Is This?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Amen. Now, at this time, Miss Debbie's going to sing a song that I think even more beautifully illustrates this very thing we're talking about here tonight. Oh, you need a microphone. There you go.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy but come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy had walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary, did you know?
Well, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, and they're in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping over their watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know, there was a sense of wonder that began to fill the countryside after Jesus, the light of the world, began to shine. And that light began to be spread by a message from the angels who declared the word of the Lord. And you know, it's still the word of God that spreads the light of the world all around. It's you and I who are the emissaries of God's word that are the ones who can share this light with every person that we meet. And so these shepherds, the light of the news of Jesus Christ began to shine through their experience in their hearts. They experienced Jesus Christ who came into this world. But it wasn't just humble shepherds who experienced this light. The Bible also tells us that from the far east, wise men made their way out to the same place where Jesus was. And I believe those wise men encountered Jesus very soon after he was born, because the Bible says they met him in Bethlehem. And Mary and Joseph were still in Bethlehem when they came. The Bible tells us about when they met Jesus in Matthew chapter number 2. And it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" The Bible goes on to say in verse 9 that when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Often we look at this whole encounters that we just read about in the scripture, and we call it the first Noel. That word Noel, it means Christmas. And this was the first Christmas. This was the first time when people from all over this world came to experience the wonder of the fact that the God of heaven had come in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had been born and had come into this world. And those wise men and those shepherds, they left that place and began to share that news every place that they went. And you know, the fact is, we still have the privilege, and the story is never going to get old. The fact that Jesus Christ has come into this world and how he came, that's the good news that people need to hear about during this season. And we so often like to talk about everything else that's involved with Christmas, but there's no more important story to be told than the first Noel. And so why don't we stand together this time and let's sing about it, that first Noel.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light. And so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king, was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. The star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did won't stop and stay right over the place where Jesus lay. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Amen. You may be seated. And thank God for that story of Christmas. It's so important for us to understand that truth there. You know, the Bible tells us that when the wise men came from the east and they came to Jesus, they didn't come empty-handed. The Bible says they came with gifts to present to this newborn king. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "And when they, the wise men, were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." I love talking about what those gifts represented, and I'll not park here long. Consequently, I've just realized when I lit your candles at the beginning of the service, it was like a ticking time bomb for how long I have tonight. If I start seeing your little papers go on fire, I'll know I'm out of time tonight. But the gift of gold was a gift fit for a king, and that's who Jesus was. The gift of frankincense was a gift of worship. It was often something that was used in that time period in offering a sacrifice to deity. And Jesus Christ was deity, God in the flesh. We talked about that during the first service this morning. He's the Son of God. So they gave him frankincense, and then they gave him myrrh. Myrrh was something they would use to put on their deceased. It was a sweet-smelling savor, a preservative type of liquid. And they presented this to Jesus. And this gift of myrrh was a gift that was fit for the Savior of the world, the one who had come to die for all of our sins. And those gifts in and of themselves were very symbolic of the reason for why Jesus Christ had come into this world. And so when we look at the angels, we find when the angels encountered the newborn Savior Jesus, they came and offered him an offering of praise when Jesus entered into this world. When the shepherds heard about this Jesus, they came to Jesus and offered Jesus the worship of their presence. They came into the presence of Jesus Christ and acknowledged his greatness. And when the wise men came, they came and offered an offering of gifts, of a present to the Lord. And we see all these people that encountered the newborn king worshiping the Lord in some way. And that leads me to ask the question tonight, do you have anything for Jesus this Christmas? You've gotten something for your kids. You better have gotten something for your wife, buddy, okay? Right, you've gotten something for your husband. You've gotten something for your extended family, okay? You've even gotten something for your mother-in-law, okay? I have, Mom, okay? You've even gotten stuff for some person at work. You don't even like him. You got him a gift. What do you have for Jesus? Jesus gave us the greatest gift that's ever been given. And I believe the least we can do is give back to him. Some of us, God's given us the ability to give. Some of us have the ability to serve. Some of us, really, the greatest gift God expects and desires from each one of us is that we would give ourselves to God's purposes. Lord, here's my life. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. That's perhaps the greatest gift that you could possibly present to the Lord during this season of the year. And, you know, this next song we're going to sing, I'm pretty excited about this song because we actually have a drummer now, okay? And it's a little drummer boy. And I like this song because it's a song. Now, is it biblically accurate? No, there was no drummer boy. and I've heard a lot of funny jokes about that, but I won't take the time to park there now because your candles are melting and I need to hurry up. But the fact is, the story behind this song is of a little boy who wants to do something to give back to this Jesus, this one that had come to save us. And so let's sing this song together. Let's stand and do it together. on the first.
Come, they told me, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. A newborn king to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. To lay before the king, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum. So to honor him, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, when we come. Baby Jesus, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, I am a poor boy to ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. I have no gift to bring ba-rum-pa-bum-bum that's fit to give a king ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum. Shall I play for you, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, on my drum? Mary nodded, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. The ox and lamb kept time, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. I played my drum for him, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. I played my best for him, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum. Then he smiled at me, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, me and my drum, me and my drum.
That's a fun song right there. All right, you can be seated. And I'm glad we have a little drummer boy now. We don't call that. We don't call him that, though, okay? And in all seriousness, the Lord has done so much for us, and especially for us as Christians. Christmas is a good reminder not just to give gifts to the ones we love. Obviously, we do that because Jesus has given us the greatest gift that's ever been given, himself. But it's also a time for us to be able to give to the Lord. It's a good reminder for us during this season of the year here. You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a sad commentary that was given about him in the book of Luke. And before we're done tonight, I want us to consider this. In Luke chapter number 2, we read part of this verse before. But the Bible tells us in Luke 2 that when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And then it says, because there was no room for him in the inn. And that is perhaps the most astounding and convicting part of the whole Christmas story. When Jesus came into this world had no room for him. When the King of Kings entered the world, the people of this world made no room to receive him. John chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. And Jesus himself, later in his life, he talked about this. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, he said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The truth is, you and I look back on this, and it's really easy for us to be skeptical. It's really easy for us to be critical. We look back on this and think, how could the people of this world not have acknowledged the King of Kings, the Messiah, when he came into this world. And we might ask, how could they possibly have not made room for their Creator? How could they have possibly not have made room for their King when he entered this world? And yet the truth is that this world, let's make it more personal, we are still guilty of doing this today. We fill our lives up, especially during this season. We fill our lives up with family gatherings, church services. We fill our lives up with parties, work parties, and getting together with friends, and watching those holiday movies, okay? That's a necessity as well. We fill our lives up with cooking the baked goods and playing the games and doing all these things. And if we're not careful, we fill our lives up with so much of these things. And these are all good things. Not necessarily bad, but we fill our lives up with them so much that we leave no room for the one who this season is supposed to be all about. We make no room in our life. And that's a convicting thing for all of us to consider here today. But there is something that is even more astounding and appalling. And that is, that's for many of you, whether you're watching on a live stream or in this world or in this room tonight, and for many people over this world, they have never made room in their heart for Jesus. See, the fact is, Jesus Christ came into this world not just to be in this world, but he came into this world to be with us so that he could die on a cross for our sins, so that he could come to live in us when we believe in him as our Savior. Jesus didn't come for us to ever, for forever picture him in Bethlehem's manger. Jesus came in Bethlehem's manger so that there could come a day he could come to dwell in each one of our hearts. And I wonder if there's been a time in your life when you've made room in your heart for Jesus Christ. For many of you in this room, Jesus Christ may be a story that you're familiar with, but he's not a person that you have a relationship with. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might say, oh, he's the Savior of the world. But Jesus can be a Savior of the world without being your personal Savior. See, there has to come a day in each one of our lives and we acknowledge we need Jesus to save us. We need Jesus to be a part of our lives. We need to receive Jesus into our lives. And that's the miracle of salvation. That is truly and fundamentally the reason Jesus came. Not just to be someone we talk about in a manger or on a cross or in an empty tomb, but to be someone who through all of those things we trust as our own personal Lord and Savior. And I say to you tonight, I hope that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that tonight you'll make the decision to trust Jesus. And I'm going to give the same invitation that I gave this morning. Listen, I understand during a service like this how intimidating this may be. The good news is the lights are out. It's a little bit dim and you can't see everybody anyways. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and God has spoken to your heart here tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to let us show you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. There's no more important gift you'll receive than the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ tonight. And we'd like to show you how you can receive Jesus as your Savior if you've not done that truly. And we're going to sing another song here in just a moment about making room in your heart, making room in your life for Jesus Christ. And during that invitation, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you to stand up and go to the back. We'll have some people who slip back there even now to get ready to help you if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to show you from the Bible how you can know him tonight. And now, Christian, you listen very closely on this. If you, God has spoken to your heart tonight, you've not made room for Christ in your life. You've got him in your heart, but you've crowded him out with all the stuff going on in your life right now. I don't want to encourage you to go to the back. I want to encourage you to come to an altar during this song and to get that settled before you and the Lord. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to set aside some of these other things and take some time this season to focus on you and what you've come to accomplish for us. Maybe it might just be, Lord, to tell the Lord you're going to read your Bible every day. Might just be, you say, Lord, I'm going to take some time to pray and worship you every day. A Christian, if you've gotten out of sync when it comes to those things, this invitation time, as we sing this song, will be a great time for you to come. And so right now, I want to invite you to stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed. And as we stand, we're going to sing this song together. And as we sing this song, if God is speaking to your heart about needing to trust Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to slip to the back, and someone will help you. If Christian, you need to come get something settled about crowding Jesus out of your life, making room in your life for Jesus, I hope you'll come and talk to him about it during this time we sing this song. A family hiding from the storm, found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town they did not know, that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, and do not fear the glory light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are. It may set you apart if you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. A mother holds the promise tight. Every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light. For in his hands he holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are. It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Amen. I pray if you have not made room in your heart for the Lord, whether you're a Christian and you just crowded him out of your life, that you'll go from this place and remember, not wrong all the family gatherings, not wrong to have all the festivities and the fun, and nothing wrong with those things. But when those things crowd out the reason we celebrate this season, there's something that's off. And I want to encourage you as families, hey, Christmas morning when you wake up, before you get into all of the stuff, all the traditions, all the gifts, just take a minute to stop. I don't care if you've never done it before. Some of you say, I don't even know what to do. Well, just read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. That's a great place to start. And pray and thank Jesus for coming. I don't know what your tradition is, but I want to encourage you to make Jesus the centerpiece of your time during this season. If you don't know Christ and you haven't responded tonight, we'd love to help you come to know Jesus as your Savior. There truly is no more important decision that you'll make than to trust Christ. And so as we conclude our time tonight, and before your fingers start to get burnt tonight, we're going to end off our time of worship here tonight by singing Silent Night. And I love this song. Let's sing it together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven above, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior. Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Amen. Well, let's end our time of worship here tonight in a time of prayer. Let's pray together at this time. Father, we thank you for the time that you blessed us with here tonight. And Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, that you would be the one on our lips as we talk with family, as we talk with one another, as we talk with people at work tomorrow. I pray the glorious news of the fact that you've come to save us would be some part of the conversation that we have with every person that we encounter. And I pray the miracle of Christmas, the fact that you came, would be the chief focus on our hearts throughout this season. And Lord, that we'd not crowd everything else into our life so much that we force you out, that we take time to acknowledge you, to worship you, to thank you, not just individually, but as families, as we go from this place. And I pray that the light of the world, Jesus, that's come and shined abroad in our hearts, you would allow that light to spread to our families and friends and those that we encounter as we share this glorious news as we leave this place. Lord, we love you, and we're sure thankful for the time of worship you've given us together here tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.